Well, today is one of the, I think one of the great feasts of the church here, the feast of the Holy Family in the traditional calendar, as we have it. And it's one that has tangibility to it because we all have come from, live in families, and we can understand all the practical, all of the tangible difficulties that come with it. And today, I guess, two points, kind of a via negativa, something to avoid, and a via positiva, something to be drawn to. Not in this reading from Colossians, but immediately following it, in the Novus Ordo calendar of readings, so in Colossians 3, 18 and 19, what would follow is that passage that, well, everyone would just like to ignore a little bit. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands, as is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and avoid any bitterness toward them. It has a lot of, brings up a lot of emotions within our culture on the relationship between husbands and wives and so on. So a couple of myths to dispel. Number one, and these are kind of very, very fundamental. Sexual attraction and love are the same thing. Can you imagine a high schooler coming home saying to father, I've met her or I've met him, and I'm just in love with him, right? Well, there's attraction, right? Love, let's take a little time and see, huh? Right? The father, you know, has probably been married to the mother for, I'll pick something, 20 years, probably says, well, love takes a lot more than that, right? Your mother and I, you know, we've got to find ways to forgive each other all the time. There's so much involved in love that's beyond mere attraction, right? We all kind of know that, but in the culture, attraction seems to justify love and everything that goes with it, right? It takes more than that. Second, marriage shouldn't entail any suffering. And therefore, because I'm suffering in my marriage, I must leave. This is, my spouse is not making me perfectly happy, metaphysically happy. What's the matter with my spouse, right? That kind of attitude ignores the fundamental notion of marriage and family as a school of love and sacrifice, right? Love doesn't mean never having to say you're sorry. Love means having to say you're sorry. If you're supposed to give 70 times 7 times, just ratchet up and say you're supposed to forgive 80 times 80 or ask for forgiveness for 8 times 80. Number three, marriage is a purely private affair, right? Everybody get out of my bedroom, you know, I can do whatever I want, and it has nothing to do with anything else. Rather, marriage and the sexual faculties of the person aren't private. Their purpose is for the common good. Inscribed in our bodies is like this orientation to the common good through those sexual faculties, this orientation to communion and relationship. This would be very much the theology of the body. Myth number four. What we find in Ephesians and we find in Colossians, as I mentioned, well, that notion of subordinate to husbands, love your wives, that kind of thing, that's just outdated. We've outgrown that. And that's a product of a bygone culture, not instructive for modern marriage. Well, to the contrary, husbands should love their wives like Christ loved his church. Christ loved his church by laying down his life and sacrifice to bring her to God and make her holy and purified of every spot and wrinkle. The husband is doing his job as a husband if he is willingly sacrificing his own pleasures, ego, agenda, time, any false machismo for the sanctification of his wife and children. He should have no eye to his own advantage, but only to the welfare of his family. St. Paul teaches that a man who does not make the effort to provide for his family is worth less than an infidel. He should be willing to give up his physical appetites for sex, for food, for sex, for entertainment, free time, whatever it might be, in service of his wife and family, even as Christ did for the church. So, the sanctified husband-father can lead his family to God in holiness and should be obeyed. If he says it's important for our family to pray the rosary or to tithe for the poor or for the church and not neglect those in need, the family should obey. Especially when he says, as husband and father, we really don't need that second flat screen TV. Oh my, we don't need that in the house. In these things, it is important to listen to the husband and father's authority that is leading in love. Alternatively, what if he's saying, well, where's my fifth of whiskey? And I want to watch R-rated movies at 5 p.m. in the afternoon, and I don't like my job, and so you, wife, go get a job for me. It is insane to obey that type of male-dominating, cheap authoritarianism that's characteristic of a corrupted, sinful masculinity that makes a man less than a man. The church is clear that it is not appropriate for husbands and fathers. They must lead in charity, self-sacrifice, and godliness. So, I'm probably preaching to the choir a little bit here, so I know you get it. The via positiva. My man, St. Joseph. Now there is a virtuous guy. This guy knows what he's doing. He's got the plan laid out extremely well. A real man. No couch potato, eating chips and watching TV reruns of Jerusalem football matches every day on the Holy Land Sports Channel, right? This is not St. Joseph, right? He abandons everything to take his family to Egypt and discerns it is better to go to small town Nazareth for his family's safety. There might have been a greater GDP in Jerusalem than in Nazareth, but he went to Nazareth. The just man, job for family, not family for job. I had an interesting discussion with a young man about the fruit of this sacrificing husband and loving wife. The idea of a husband and wife loving each other so much that there's like an access to marital contemplation. The man contemplating his wife, the wife contemplating his mother. Kind of marriage as a scripture for contemplation of the other in God. Story of a young man who is suffering terribly through a wife who abandoned him. When I look out here and I see young couples who maybe have just married, you know, within 5 years, imagine your wife or your husband coming back from a vacation and just saying, don't pick me up at the airport. I don't want to see you. It's over. With just complete shock, no indication, nothing else, right? The great tragedy of that situation. And going through the whole process, seeking a declaration to all the ends, coming back negative, and so the husband to be faithful to his wife and to God and the church has before him a life in which there's no spouse. His spouse has abandoned him, right? This is very dramatic, very sacrificial, very against the culture, right? And to add to that, he's left recalling when he was in college and he had met a woman that he had dated with great chastity and everything, in which they had that great soulful connection, in which they could reflect on each other almost in silence, in the same mind, and reflect on God. It was like all the spiritual and intellectual compatibility was there. He's left with a wife who has abandoned him suddenly, and he's left in a life in which he can't marry, and he can recall this great contemplative relationship he had. Where is God's providence in that? That's what he asked me. You know, the virtuous young man asked me a very serious question. Where is God in that? What does he want from me? Right? What do I do with the rest of my life? That was what he was asking. I don't know if I didn't have a complete answer, obviously. But even in that suffering and comparison that he's drawing, there is wonderful contemplation on the Lord. In that wonderment of providence, as he hearkens back to the previous relationship, it instructs one on the proper relationship with God. Our relationship with God should be that gaze from that first relationship in complementarity and love, not us abandoning God as a kind of fickle lover. That is what he's left with as a comparison. How wonderful and grateful to have that model of the contemplative relationship in a life for what we should and must have with God. To those of you who are married, give gratitude to God that you have your spouse. It may not be perfect. It rarely is. But it's someone to cling to in intimacy, and there's a lot to reflect on about God through that relationship. You should be very grateful. Maybe sometime today you can hug your spouse and thank them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.